A 15-year-old girl wrote this in her journal.
This life that I now live is not mine, but yours. It's yours to do with as you please. So pretty much, Father, I'm just begging you to take this year and my life and to please allow your glory to shine. Take it, Father, and use it to its fullest potential.
A few months later, she would be in a coma fighting for her life. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wacklemuth, author of Choosing Forgiveness, for May 22nd, 2018.
Our guests this week are Linda and Jen Barrick. Linda is the mother, Jen is the daughter, and although you guys look like you could almost be sisters,
yay,
have a strong resemblance, and the Lord has made you closer than probably most mothers and daughters ever will be because of what you've been through together. So it's just interesting to see how heartache and hardship forges a bond. When I think of how many 26-year-old daughters don't feel that close to their mom or are wanting to live their own independent life and don't have a strong relationship with their mom or maybe even a lot of barriers. But it was through what the world would call an accident, which really wasn't an accident at all, that the Lord knit your hearts closer to Him and closer to each other and your whole family now serving together in ministry out of this horrific accident. I had a brother who was killed in a car accident in college when he was a student at Liberty. And somebody told me then, and I've remembered it ever since, that with God there are no accidents. There was a wreck. But it wasn't an accident. So for those who may have missed the program yesterday, and if you did, I encourage you to go and listen to it or read the transcript. But Linda, just give us a nutshell of what we covered yesterday. And then we'll pick up with the how God began that healing and restoration process.
It was November 5th, 2006, and we were coming home from church, our whole family in a van together, and Jennifer was 15, and she had just sung in her first choir concert, and we were headed home, and I love a party. My dad spoke that night on Revelation, and tons of our friends were there, so we invited them all to watch the football game, and it was 8:30 on a Sunday evening in November, and less than a mile from our home, we were hit by a drunk driver, and he was running from the police. He had hit another vehicle, and the police did not handcuff him and did not take his keys. And that's when he came at us going 80 miles an hour. And actually, the impact was 120 miles an hour. And all four of us should have died. And yet God spared our lives that night. And Jennifer suffered a traumatic brain injury with multiple skull fractures. And no one thought Jen would live.
Well, you have a picture of the mutilated van in your book, Miracle for Jen. And you look at that picture and you can't believe that anybody came out of that wreck.
Actually, the drunk driver was in a truck and he hit us so hard that he dropped his engine in the middle of the road and ran over top of our van. And so that's why the van looks so bad and mangled.
But the Lord had a plan. He wasn't done with your lives. And had He taken you home to heaven, that's not a bad ending to a story when you look at it from heaven's viewpoint. But He had some more for you down here on earth. And yet, it's been a really long, hard journey. Because as you learned, Linda, after you got out of the hospital finally and were able to be over with Jen an hour and a half away, where she was in a coma for 5 weeks, even when she started to come to, it was not like you see on TV, you know, somebody just comes to and all of a sudden they're whole. This was still a long, hard journey ahead.
It was. I wish everyone listening could have been there in the hospital room with Jennifer, because we got to see two sides of Jennifer. Her mind and her body was so broken. Doctors would come in and they'd say, Jen, raise your right arm. And she could not do it. She could not follow a verbal command. They would ask her if she had a brother and she would say no. She thought she had a sister. She didn't know her name. She didn't know who we were. And yet she knew Jesus. Mm. And in her pain, as she would be moaning back and forth and getting all wound up in her feeding tube in the bed, we would bring in the Wow Worship CDs and we would play praise music. And she could sing word for word all 22 songs on the Wow Worship CD. Wow. And then we would start reading God's word. So the only thing that would calm her from the thrashing and the pain, because she was so confused, was God's word and praise music. And we would start reading in Psalms and she would start quoting what we are reading and we would stop. I mean, you can imagine, we're in tears, we're stopping, and she would just keep going and she could quote whole chapters of the Bible, and we'd even try to trick her and go to the Old Testament and the New Testament. It didn't matter. Every word that she had hidden in her heart from God's word, she knew. And it was as if she knew Jesus and nothing else. And she would talk to him. The only time that we could understand her was when she was praying and talking to Jesus. And it was the only time she made sense. And I'll never forget, she would just praise God. She didn't ask him for anything. She didn't beg him. She doesn't know she's hurt. She didn't know she was hurt for 2 years. But this one day in the hospital, I'm in the wheelchair. My whole left side is crushed. And Jen is saying, "Lord, thank you for healing me and raising me up." And I'm screaming at her, "You're not healed. You can't even sit up. You know, what are you saying?" But God was trying to teach us through Jen to just praise him because he can. Praise him in advance as if he's already done what we're asking him to do. And she would praise him for hours, and yet she had so much pain. And there's one story that happened in the hospital that changed my life forever. And I promised God I would always tell it. And it was Christmas time, and Jennifer, a lift could actually pull Jen out of the bed and put her in the wheelchair. She still couldn't sit up or stand up. And my friend Pam Foster was with us that day, and Pam is on the ground while Jen's in the wheelchair, and she's rubbing Jen's feet because Jen doesn't have control of her legs, so she's kicking Pam, and we're trying to calm Jen down. And so we start singing Silent Night because it's Christmas. And in the middle of Silent Night, Jennifer stops kicking and thrashing, and actually her neck was getting all caught up under the, you know, the neck rest. She stops thrashing, and she just starts glowing, and she's looking up to the left, and at the end of Silent Night, she just says, "Amen." And I looked at her, and I said, "Jennifer," I'm in my wheelchair next to her, and I said, "Do you see Jesus?" And she said, "Yes. Don't you see him? He is standing right beside me." And that moment in time, it changed my life forever because Jesus made himself so real to her. And Jennifer was completely blind during this time.
She could not see me.
She could not see Jesus. But she could see Jesus. How do you view Jesus?
I love to view Jesus as being my escort, because scripture says that once we have invited the Lord into our lives and into our hearts to be our personal Savior, how God will never leave us or forsake us, and he'll be by our side no matter what. So I just love to visualize Jesus being my escort. And for everyone listening today, if they've invited the Lord into their hearts and lives as well, they are never alone, for God is by their side and holding their hand.
And some people in a circumstance like that would feel that God has forsaken them.
Right.
But the Lord made sure you knew that he was there with you.
Yes.
And he is there whether we can feel him or not.
Yes.
But how sweet of the Lord to let you know that he was there.
Yes.
And I believe Jen experienced God's presence in a way that was something so powerful. She's had no fear ever since that day. She's had no fear, only joy. It's as if she got a glimpse of the glory of God, and she knows that this life is not all there is. And she really doesn't have the cares of the world that the rest of us have. And she'll say things to me. She has childlike faith, like that five-year-old. And she'll say, "Mom, you know, why would you doubt God? Isn't he the creator of the universe?" And I love that, how God has given her that peace. And, you know, when I think back to that day when Jen said Jesus was standing right beside her, that was the day she was awake. She had to be awake three hours to stay in the hospital. Insurance was going to send her home because she wasn't awake 3 hours to do therapy. But that was the day she stayed awake long enough, and she started to be able to see out of the upper left. And so for a lot of years, she could only see in the upper left corner. And just amazing how God is a God of detail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you were telling, as we were having lunch together just before we went to record, about the three P's.
Yes.
That were the, yes. the yes. means that God gave you to reach her heart when she was not reachable.
Reachable, yes. So I know it's hard to imagine if you've never seen someone come out of a coma, but it is not at all like the movies. And Jennifer was so broken, and she didn't know or understand anything. She didn't know what an elephant was or what a bird was, nothing. And yet the Holy Spirit was alive and perfect inside of her. And the only way we could get Jen to do anything, even to learn how to walk or to get out of bed, was to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in the hospital, all her weight is on this walker, and the therapist can't get her to take one step. But I knew the night before, my mom had stayed with her all night, and Jen had quoted all 66 books of the Bible. Yes. So I'm in my wheelchair, and they're trying to make Jen walk, and I just started saying Genesis, Exodus, and she starts saying Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and she took 66 steps down the hallway and said all 66 books of the Bible. And so the only way we could connect with her would be to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And even her school teacher at the hospital would try to put a pencil in her hand and say, write Jen, you know, just J-E-N. And she would cry and say, this hurts. And in fact, she didn't even know where her body was in space. She didn't know she had arms and legs. They would put her in a rocking chair and shake her, and she would cry just to show her where her arms were. But when the teacher put the pencil in her hand and said, write, I love Jesus, she would try with all her might.
Wow.
And so even when Jen came home 3 months later, we didn't know what were we going to do with her. I mean, because she was so broken. Yes, she could walk with help. But we started doing the three P's. And in order for Jen to function, she had to have praise music on, and she'd be dancing with joy to the praise music.
Yes.
We would quote the promises of God's word, and we would pray out loud. And even getting out of bed was so hard. And so what would we say, Jen, to get you out of bed?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
And then she had anxiety. She couldn't walk in a room full of people. And what would we say?
God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
And so our days were just, we did the three P's all day long just to get Jen dressed, just to get her in a car and drive her to therapy. Jen would pray out loud and talk to Jesus just like she did in the hospital.
I'm thinking those three P's would be good for a whole lot of our listeners, for all of us, because who among us isn't facing something in our lives that's really hard?
It
may not be getting out of bed. It may be getting out of bed, but it may be something else that's really hard in your job or in a relationship with somebody else. And you think about if we were to build our lives around praise and the promises of God and prayer, we can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit by those means of grace.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times when I come into the studio to do an interview, or I get up to teach or to do a conference or to write a book, and I'm thinking, I cannot do this. I feel weak. I feel inadequate. And you are so right. It's in the place of praise, in the place of clinging to those promises of God, and praying, crying out to him, that God infuses us with grace and strength to do what humanly we can't do.
Right. And, you know, when I think about, too, we learned so much that when we pray scripture, we're praying God's will, and he will answer. And what Jen would teach us over and over, what God would teach us through Jen, was to praise him because he can. So instead of begging, to turn our begging into just praising him. I'll never forget one night, Jennifer had so much pain and so much pressure in her head that we would get around her bed as a family every night, and my husband would rub her feet for an hour just to be able so she could sleep. And we would all pray. Josh, my son Josh, would pray, Lord, please heal Jen more. And I would beg God to heal new pathways in Jen's brain. And one night, Jen opened her mouth and she said, Lord, did I meet all your expectations today? Did I fulfill everything you had for me to do today? And, you know, I just wept because I thought I had never prayed a prayer like that mm-hmm. before. My prayers were, Lord, help me. You know, Lord, mm-hmm. serve me. Make my life easy. Fix Jen. You know, I was begging God to make Jen who she was before. And God had a far greater plan. And yet, Jen's prayer wasn't fix me. It was, Lord, use me.
Wow.
And that changes everything. God can use all of us just as we are and where we are. And in our weakness, He is strong. And that's, I think, what God teaches our family every day. When we're incapable, God can do it. But we have to do those P's. We have to praise Him and pray and ask Him. And just this last year, I realized we've been doing a fourth P. Jen has been doing a fourth P all along.
What is it,
and
Jen?
What is it, Jen?
Positive. Saying the positive.
She refuses to say a negative out loud. She will only say positive. It doesn't matter. She was going to be in a wedding, and I didn't think we were going to get the dress zipped. You know what I'm saying? Jen, you can't eat that chocolate cake. And she says, well, I feel great about how I look. And I prayed, and God's going to zip up that dress for me. And sure enough, she fit in the dress. But she just turns everything into a positive.
You sound like my husband. He thinks that way.
Amazing.
It helps me think that way.
Yeah. Awesome. If she wants to do something and she wanted a friend and I'm thinking all her friends are working and she said, well, I have lots of friends. Who could I call? She just chooses to say the positive out loud, which is what scripture is.
Jen, I'm listening to this and thinking, what kind of kid were you before this accident? Mm-hmm. And are there ways as you, I don't know how much of that you remember, but how have you changed in terms of your relationship with the Lord? Was this just the way you always were, or has God used all of this to do some different things in your life?
Well, through the car wreck, God has definitely allowed me to be more outspoken and sharing my faith just with whoever I come in contact with, which I am so thankful for. Before the car wreck, I was more of an introvert. I had a deep love relationship with the Lord. I loved to journal and cup it all more so, just me and God in my room. I would get up early before school to read my Bible and to pray and to journal to God. But I feel like I was begging for boldness. I was.
She couldn't really pray out loud unless you kind of put her on the spot. And she was at ninth grade. She was a varsity cheerleader, a varsity soccer player, a straight A student. But in her journals, she was saying, Lord, thank you, but I want more. I want to make a difference for eternity. And I know I'm going to need boldness. And she was actually begging God to have boldness like her little brother, because he could pray out loud in front of people. And now with her brain injury, she's completely uninhibited and she shares Jesus everywhere she goes. And Jen, there is a journal you wrote 2 months before the car wreck.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think you can quote it. I found it under your bed while she was in the coma.
I want to hear her quote that. But first, I want to hear you tell Linda how you discovered those journals.
Okay. So while Jen was still in her coma, I begged my dad to take me back to our house. We had not been there because it had steep staircases and I was in a wheelchair. And so he took me to the house and my whole left side is crushed. And so I remember just getting, you know, sitting on the steps and just pushing up on my one good arm and my one good leg and crawling up the steps to Jen's room at the top of the steps. And so I'm on the ground and I can see this Victorian box under her bed. And so I crawl over to that box and I open it. And Jen had journals hidden in that box. Yes. She had a journal to her future husband. I mean, she had all kinds of journals. And she was much quieter of a personality before her brain injury, but she loved Jesus with all her heart, but it was kind of hidden in her journals. In fact, the beginning said, if anyone ever reads this, they may get a glimpse of what goes on in Jennifer Nicole's head. And I giggle now thinking, because those journals are all through Miracle for Jen, the book that I wrote on Jen's story. Now the whole world gets to see Jen's heart and how she loved him. But this one journal entry was so powerful, where Jen was begging God to use her, and I ripped it out and I carried it with me everywhere in my wheelchair, because it gave me hope that God was going to wake her up. And just, I felt like Jen was talking to me or speaking to me. And not only that, in her room, I look at her nightstand and there's this hot pink piece of paper and it's Philippians, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. And, you know, and then I crawl into her bathroom and there's a sticky note because, you know, I have to tell you one thing as a mom, Satan accuses you. And one of my thoughts was, did I pray protection over my kids that day? You know, the day that the car wreck happened, had I done everything that I could do to protect my family? And there on Jen's mirror in the bathroom was a psalm, a verse in Psalms that I had prayed over Jen, and she had stuck it. I would give her sticky notes often and she stuck them on her bathroom mirror. But it was a passage in Psalms just asking God to guard her with his angels and to protect her. And again, God was just comforting me being in Jen's room. But I tore out that journal entry and I carried it with me in my wheelchair, in my purse, everywhere I went. And even when Jen started waking up from her coma, it gave me hope I would read it over and over.
Is that the one that you can quote?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to share that?
I would love to. I titled it, Anything is Possible with You. Wow, Lord, it's crazy how time flies. And this year, Father, I don't want to blend in because I know that I was born to stand out, to stand alone, maybe, if that's what it takes. This life that I now live is not mine, but yours. It's yours to do with as you please. So pretty much, Father, I'm just begging you to take this year and my life and to please allow your glory to shine. Take it, Father, and use it to its fullest potential. Your faithful servant, Jen.
And that was written how long before the accident?
2.5 months.
Yes.
Right before school started.
So you didn't know what the Lord had in mind or how he was planning to answer that sincere prayer from his faithful servant. But you look back now and you can see God was answering your heart's desire.
Yes.
Did you ever imagine that you would have opportunities to share with the world your love for Jesus?
No. It's amazing. God's amazing.
Yeah. You know, when the NBC Today show came to our house and did a story on Jen, the producer of the show wanted to ask Jen some extra questions. And he sat in our kitchen and he said, Jen, if you could go back to November 5th, 2006 and change it and not get in that van, would you do it? And she just said, no, I'm so honored that God would use me. This was the desire of my heart. And then the same producer asked me the same question. And I said, yes, as a mom, I would change it because what mom wants to watch their child suffer? And this was several years ago, and I didn't know how much God would keep healing Jen, but it's hard. It's hard to watch your child suffer and go through pain every day. And yet, what's amazing is how God gives her purpose every day. He gives her divine appointments every day, whether it's in the bathroom praying over someone in a wheelchair or a little kid who's crying in the corner. I mean, God gives her someone to share hope with every day, everywhere she goes.
Well, in this book, Miracle for Jen, it's a story of hope.
Yes.
And I believe that as you read it, it's going to encourage you, whatever your story, your journey may be, that the Lord is writing for you. It'll be very different than Jen and Linda's, but it will challenge your faith and it will encourage you in your relationship with Jesus and to let him use you in ways that only he can make possible. And we're making this book available to anyone who makes a donation this week of any amount to support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts. It's our way of saying thank you when you support the ministry in that way. You know, Jen and Linda, a big part of your story is about the guy who was driving the truck. And you've told us a little bit about him, but when we come back on the next Revive Our Hearts, I want to talk about how he played into this story and this whole challenge of forgiveness. You've walked through quite a journey on that, and I know many of our listeners have circumstances that they have faced where it's really, really hard to deal with this forgiveness issue. So I hope our listeners will be sure and join us for the next Revive Our Hearts with Jen and Linda Barrick.
Here's how to get a copy of the book Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth was talking about. It's called Miracle for Jen, and you can ask for it when you make a donation of any size to Revive Our Hearts. When you donate, would you ask God how he'd have you support this ministry? Here in May, we're asking him to provide at least $680,000 in donations. This will help us prepare for the summer months when donations are typically lower. You can call with your gift at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Tomorrow, hear about an amazing letter Jen wrote after being hit by a drunk driver and being in a coma. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgelmuth wants to prepare you for any challenging circumstances. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.